Hey, Rolando.
What's up, Nicole?
Well, it is Pride Month, and we're going to be celebrating Pride all throughout the month, right?
Yes, we have two Pride specials coming up this month.
I'm so excited about this. Just to start it off, I want to ask you, do you have a favorite LGBT movie?
That are, like, gay characters, or are we including movies that are, like, held in high regard by the gay community?
Well, we could do one of both, if you like.
Does the gay community like the movie Heartbreaker? I feel like that's a pretty gay.
If you like it, then the gay community does.
yeah, I like the movie Heartbreakers.
That's a good
with,
movie.
Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
Oh, it was Gene Hackman. I was right. All right,
you were
yeah,
right.
Gene Hackman. Yeah, Gene Hackman is the one that Sigourney Weaver is trying to seduce.
Heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers. So Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt, they're con artists, right?
Oh.
And they like. They're gold diggers.
Yeah.
So they would, like, find, you know, rich husbands, divorce them, and get the money.
Anything like The Hustle?
It's very similar to The Hustle, which we covered 3-4 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, you guys should listen to it. It's called Half a Hate.
Half a Hate, yes.
Yeah. Well, my favorite gay movies, I have three.
You have three, okay.
I do. It's in no order, Paris is Burning, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and Carol.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
those are good movies.
Yeah, I love
one of which is also Broadway.
Yes, one's a documentary, one is a Broadway, and one is a book adaptation.
Uh-huh.
Broadway musical.
Yeah, good for you. Those are like also like those are like higher levels of like gay art films.
Gay films can be good, guys. And to prove our point that gay films can be very good, we're covering some of the best gay films ever today, I think, in my opinion.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Because
thank
there's
you.
Very few other. Because that's the thing. I didn't give an answer because I was embarrassed by some of the gay movies that I have
no,
seen.
No, we have to change that mentality.
Which
not...
tend to be, no, gay movies are notoriously bad.
But I want to question, like, what is a good film and stuff, too? Because it's like, there are plenty of quote-unquote heterosexual films that are terrible. Well, but we won't get into this
Yeah, you're
argument.
Really diving into what a gay movie is.
We should
which
really discuss that.
Which is a good topic
that.
When you think about it, though, because I think The Birdcage is a good, you're great. It's a good gay movie. However, I think it was very popular when it came out.
It was.
Like, it was top number one movie for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it was
getting
a smash.
Ahead of ourselves, so we should probably...
We should introduce the films first. We are covering, so The Birdcage from 1996. But did you know that it was a remake of a French film from 1978 called La Cage aux Folles?
I did not know that. Actually, you asked me last week. You guys already scoffed at that. I was just eating a sandwich.
Oh, yeah, well... Well, so we're going to dig a little bit into this a little further. So let's get started with ending the cold opening and going into the episode.
Let's do this.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. Yay. All right. So with us today is Eddie. How are you, Eddie?
Hello, guys. I'm good.
Thank you for being here today on a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
Like,
it's a beautiful June Sunday.
It is.
We're recording.
La Cage aux Folles, The Birdcage. Have you seen any of these films before recording this podcast research?
So I saw The Birdcage. I think I caught like the second half of it with my father when I was in high school. Because he was watching it. It was like on TV or something. And him and his friend were like watching it and laughing out loud. It's a good movie, you know
it's
what I mean?
Very good
it's a
movie.
Very funny movie, and if you like comedy, the slapstick of it is very, very good, as well as just like a kind of a solidly told story. So I caught the tail end of it. I never saw the full movie up until recently when we were discussing it for the podcast.
Right. Oh. Okay, well then I'll get your opinions on that a little later. And what about La Cage aux Folles?
No, I've never seen that one. I didn't even know.
Yeah, you
it
didn't
was,
know about it.
I feel like most Americans don't know that The Birdcage is a remake.
Well, some people know about La Cage aux Folles because La Cage aux Folles was a musical in the American theater.
Okay.
The film came out in 1978 and Jerry Herman adapted it for the stage. And he made La Cage aux Folles in 1984, won Best Tony. It's been revived, I think, twice.
So wait.
And there's a gay anthem in that show called I Am What I Am. So if you've heard that song before, that's from La Cage aux Folles.
So La Cage aux Folles, it's... All right, so not to get ahead of ourselves, but... It felt like a stage play. Was it a play before it was a movie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It feels like it was written to be on the
stage.
It
was. All right, so with that, let's just get into some history.
Let's do, yeah.
It is 1978. The best picture winner in America that year was The Deer Hunter.
Robert
De Niro.
Oh.
You're with Roberts.
I was with
the family. What else came out in 1978? I'm drawing a blank. Grease. You know, I feel like I've done this a million times. Grease came out in 1978.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a big smash. Let me give a landscape of foreign film. The film that won the Cannes Film Festival, the Palme d'Or.
Yes.
It was this film called The Tree of Wooden Clogs by Romano Only. So it's...
our audience knows that movie, obviously.
We'll try to give some sort of landscape here. Assuming that we don't know too much about French history or French cinema, and let's not get too much into that.
Are we in the French wave? Are we out of the French
new
wave?
No, we are very much out of the French new wave.
I know that genre. I don't know much about like the kind of movies that were coming out at the time.
Yes. So the French new wave was in the like essentially 1959, 1960.
And
it lasted throughout most of the 60s, but then it ended. When a lot of the filmmakers went different avenues. Jean-Luc Godard went political. François Truffaut went more like mainstream, even came to America and stuff. So it just ended. Mm. So it's 78 now. Now in 1973, a play called La Cage aux Folles was written by Jean Poiret. And it was a smash. I think it played in Paris for years. Mm. So naturally, they're like, we have to adapt this for the cinema.
Naturally.
And they did. The filmmaker was a man called Edouard Molinaro, and he wasn't a French New Wave filmmaker before that. He, I think his early films were crime films.
Okay.
Didn't have like anything to love, like to match the success of La Cage aux Folles until La Cage aux Folles. And I think that might be his like biggest smash ever.
Interesting.
And actually in France, it was such a smash. It had two sequels. So there was a trilogy.
There's sequels to The Birdcage?
To the original, the La Cage aux Folles.
Okay, so tell me more about these.
Even though La Cage aux Folles, you know what that translates to?
The Birdcage.
I think it's...
The Cage of Birds?
Fowl. Isn't it kind of like crazy?
No, a fowl, like a fowl. You're right, the crazy cage.
Mm-hmm.
So what's so they're calling the gays crazy?
I think
that's homophobic.
No. So I don't speak French, but I were to assume that it's kind of like I think it's a play on in some way that like instead of it being a bird cage, it's just like people who are in this cage are a little crazy, and I think everyone who participates in this story is to some degree crazy, heterosexual or homosexual. And I think it's also just a commentary on like the way that we have to act around one another. It's like, it's absurd. It's crazy.
Yes. It's about putting on masks.
It is. Yes. Yeah. And it's just how we cage ourselves, essentially.
Yeah.
So why don't we would you like to tell the listeners what La Cage aux Folles is about?
Yes. So La Cage aux Folles is about a gay couple. One is a drag performer. The other one owns a drag bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who owns the drag bar, I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. And they were
Renato.
Like Armando.
Renato.
Renato. Close. It's three syllables.
Like your name.
Yeah.
Rolando
Renato.
I thought you would go on three syllables. I'm like, yeah, my name does have three syllables. Thank you. I lost my train of thought. Thank
Renato.
You. Renato. Oh, yeah. So Renato. Has a son, and his son is about to get married, and his son is also, so the would-be wife, I'm giving a bad explanation here, but so the would-be potential wife, she has very conservative parents who are in politics and would not approve a marriage between her, you know, this family and, you know, a family of drag queens and, you know, gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So what they end up trying to do is run a, not a scam, it's a ruse, to try to play it straight in front of this conservative couple. Everything starts going awry, and eventually the drag performer ends up dressing as drag to pretend to be a mother.
Yes.
At the dinner, and
hilarity
ensues.
Yes, hilarity does ensue. I mean, it's interesting because it's also very sad, the premise, that this person who helped raise this child, his name is Laurent, Renato's lover. It's Laurent.
Oh, Laurent.
Like Laurent.
Yeah.
Who
was so
like, gorgeous, cute, adorable. Girly. No, well, that's why probably why I thought he was gorgeous.
He was very
cute.
Yeah.
But I also thought more of a sweetheart compared to his remake counterpart.
Which we'll get to later.
But in this one, like, he seems more understanding and compassionate of who his father is. You know, a gay man.
I don't know. I think you're only thinking that because he looks sweet and innocent.
evil I think, in his like, eyes.
And no, I don't think it was evil. I think the same kind of, I think this the same request still felt the same. I don't think it ever... Oh, I don't think he was more compassionate. I just think that since he was like a sweet, innocent, you know, looking child thing.
Yeah.
Right? He just, it comes across as sweet. I don't know. Did you watch it in French or did you watch it translated?
So it's interesting because I saw this movie years ago. And when I found it on YouTube, it was actually in Italian.
Oh.
Because it's also a French-Italian production.
Oh, okay.
Like the actor who plays Renato is Ugo Tognazzi. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of understand Italian, and I figured, I've seen this movie, I already know everything. So I didn't really, like, I didn't translate it.
Okay. So I watched the dubbed version.
Oh, you watched the dubbed version.
Right. And actually, shocking. So I don't know if a lot of the lines necessarily were, I don't know if they directly translated them from French to English, or if there was influence from the American Birdcage that influenced the dubbing. Yeah. That makes sense, right?
That does make sense. I wish I knew.
Because a lot of lines turned out very, very, very similar.
It's a beat by beat almost.
Okay, yeah. So, but with that said, though, I don't think the character of the son, he never, is never coming from a place of malice.
Yeah.
It's coming more so from a place of, like, awareness of, like, this is different. We are different. And, you know, her parents are not going to approve. I just need help with this.
Yeah.
And I don't think the delivery was ever different from either of the two sons. I think maybe it sounds harsher coming from the bird-like man from the remake. Yeah, bird-like features, sorry. And in English, as opposed to like a sweet, gentle, you know, feminine-looking man.
It's also probably the direction. And before I get into the character in the remake, I think that in general, non-American relationships between men are slightly more affectionate.
Yes.
You know, in other cultures, straight men and gay men, whatever, but like men dance openly.
Yeah,
and they're more okay with their bodies, with
Indian
touching
culture,
each other, with being affectionate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I felt that kind of European or just non-American compassion from like one man, one straight man looking to a gay man.
Right.
Because you could argue that that's also why in the remake it kind of they forego to all of that because it's more commonly American for him to be like a stuck up sarcastic asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, granted, what he asked of his father, I have a lot of problems with, but in terms of a story, and I guess that's why it's a comedy, just to make it a little bit more lighthearted, because what he's asking of him is at the end of the day truly terrible, especially if Al Bean.
Okay, I agree with you. On principle, it is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can empathize with him. I absolutely can empathize with
him. I completely understand where he's coming from and why he would think that, especially because he's 9 fucking teen and he doesn't know any better.
I think in this one, no, he was he 19 or 20?
Oh, well, he was still a child, essentially. Yeah. But what, you know, the heartbreak that must have occurred with his father in particular. Like, and then, well, actually, even for Al Bean, for them to deny themselves just to make their son happy and to realize that this is the world that they live in. And, like, he just wasn't young enough and blinded by love to know that he was asking his parents to deny themselves and their identity.
Well, and I'm glad we're covering this, this movie specifically, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I right off the table, like, the two films are heavily political. They
yes.
have a very strong socio-political message.
They do.
Okay. So with that said, and it's a message that still holds true in 2019,
mm-hmm.
sadly, right? You know what's going on in Boston, right? Someone's trying to have a straight pride parade.
Yes.
Okay. So us as gay people, we are quite upset.
Enraged.
About this. Yeah, of course.
Because it's our world pride.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, with that aside. However, it's this idea of, as a gay person, trying to raise a straight son, I can only imagine the kinds of feelings that the father must have. He even says in the movie where he knows he didn't give him a normal life,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not necessarily to say that it's unfair for the kid. However, it would be unfair for him to make an effort to try to, if he has just, like he said, like in the dinner, it's just like, it's fuck it. It's only one night that I had to play it straight. So that way he can be happy. That's fine. I don't think it's so much to ask for, because this is the fucked up world we live in, where like we are not accepted by all people. And if we have to kind of just play it straight for a little bit to get ahead, it's just something that we have to do as part of the game, and it's fucked up. But we have to do it. Like when I meet someone new, if I have to do a phone call or something, I drop my octaves to make sure I don't sound gay. It's just something we just do as people.
Yeah, and I actually higher my octave when I talk, so see? I sound more like a woman.
Yeah.
Or sometimes when I approach people, I have to, like a stranger, I just drop my voice, so I'm like, they don't question who I am, and they just probably think I'm a man.
It's like we're constantly doing things to like kind of fit in.
I guess, let me be more specific. I love these films. And I don't think that what Renato and later Armand ended up doing for their sons was bad, because if that was me, I would do the same thing. And you're right, that is the world that we live in. So he's like, if I have to do this for my son, for everything that I've put him through or whatever, just to have me as a parent, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, at the end of the day, is a heartbreaking request.
It's a heartbreaking request. I agree. I think it is a heartbreaking request. I don't know if it's... This is why I actually enjoyed these movies, watching them, especially during Pride. It's just like, oh man, like these movies still fucking resonate.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, yeah. But like at the same time, it's just like, I would, if I have a son, I would do anything to make sure that he lives a normal life.
True, but you've also done everything in your life, and in particular, I'm assuming these characters, to be who you are and to fight for who you are and to live proudly and openly.
I think that's the other complicated thing
yeah.
from these movies, right? Where this is taking place in the 70s in France. That's a whole different generation. Like how people look at homosexuality there is different from
yes.
how
and in the past.
Americans looked at homosexuality in the 90s
yeah.
to how homosexuality is looked at nowadays.
Now. Yeah.
Right? Where, and this all depends regionally where you're from, but the honest truth is like the kind of fights that I've had to do for my own identity they pale in comparison to the stuff that like I'm sure these characters in the 1970s had to do, or even the characters in the 90s movie had to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's because of their fights so that like now I can, the likelihood of me having a kid and having to put on airs to impress his you know potential wife's family are a lot less, but mm-hmm. they are still there. Like if he's gonna marry like a conservative from Alabama, you know what I mean, and I have to like butch it up, I don't think I would go as far as like making my would-be partner Eddie here dress up in drag.
Well, because... they didn't make him.
What? Oh, right, that's right. That's true. He did that out of his own fruition. but I don't know. By watching this movie, what's the other thing? Not only do they have to change the way they act, they also kind of clean up the house. Eddie has a term for it. What is it?
Fairy dusting.
Fairy dusting. So do you know this term?
I don't know this term. Tell
Eddie,
me about
go
it.
Ahead.
Fairy dusting is so when you have to kind of straighten up the house, I'm using air quotes here. Straighten
pun intended.
Straighten up the house. Oh, you take things down that would identify as gay. We would understand. So you kind of like take it all down, like if like a relative is like visiting or something, you start like they don't know that you're gay, or maybe they know, but maybe it's a little too much to them to see certain things.
Yeah.
So you just kind of take it down, put it in your like in your back closet. That's
fairy dusting.
It's called fairy dusting.
Oh my yeah. gosh! Wow.
And I think depending on where you are on the spectrum and like how comfortable you are with it,
mm-hmm.
it's something that we have all experienced. You know, it's a part of life.
Yeah.
I think, and it's a fucked up part of life, but
it is
a fucked up part of our lives. It's like an experience that only we can have.
That's no, yeah, that's you know what I mean? True. Which is why we're the only ones who should have pride parades, guys.
Right, exactly.
But at the end of the day, of course, straight people, some just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about, I guess, Laurent and compared to his remake counterpart is Val, was also the approach. I didn't want to throw things at Laurent like I did Val. And mm-hmm. I think that not being a part of the culture actually made it probably like easier for me to watch and not get so aggravated, because there wasn't things that immediately resonated for me, which is yes. why I think in general, The Birdcage, I think, is the better film. But I do love this film.
Way to jump ahead.
Sorry. I just love The Birdcage. But so a couple other characters, the two gay people, they're Renato and Albin. Mm-hmm. Renato and Albin's son is Laurent. And they have a maid.
The houseboy.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Who is played by a black man.
A black man who basically cross-dresses.
Yes.
Kind of, sort of.
I mean, he's essentially like...
fluid.
Mostly naked throughout most
basically,
of the film.
Basically, yeah. He dresses very femininely.
Effeminately,
and very,
yes.
Scantily clad.
And he's great. I love him.
He is, yeah. That's the other character that we'll see in the remake also, right?
Yes.
But it's a character that's, it's like the, it's the help, mm-hmm. who, you know, kind of similar to like sitcom trope of like the sassy butler.
Yes.
You know?
And of course, yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed him.
Yeah, I did too. I think it's interesting. They actually, again, not only do they cover the sexual identity politics of being gay, they actually are able to explore ever so lightly the fact that he's also black.
Yeah.
Just from the way he speaks with them. Like, what is it? He says, it's like, I've been called a Negro, I've been called a fag, but never, I forgot what it was.
He's like, well, I've been called everything, but no one's ever said my coffee was
bad. Yeah, exactly, bad. Something along those lines. and he gives a good performance. He's like, there's even jokes about the fact that he is black and they are white, and
yes.
he's serving them, which are almost taboo, mm-hmm. but it's just like, it's truth.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? It's a aware of it. So it's mm-hmm. like, why not address it?
Yeah.
Like, let's not ignore it and be the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Albin?
Which one's Albin?
The Nathan Lane character. He's the Zsa Zsa. He's the star.
Oh.
He's pretty much the star of the film.
Actually, I'm going to talk about the relationship here a little. Where
between the two men?
The two men.
Mm-hmm.
Where I actually was not as into this relationship as I was in the 90s remake. And here's my main problem. I think it's because it actually went physical.
Oh, I see.
Like, at the very, very beginning, right? Like, there's a scene where he does... Albin doesn't mm-hmm. want to perform. And they get into that kind of, like, dramatic fight. And it's played campy. However, what's it called? He's just like, oh, what? You're going to beat me? You're going to beat me? And next scene is just, like, him running out the door.
Yeah,
his face has been beaten by his partner, and it's like, it's domestic abuse. And I know it's the 1970s. I know it's France. I'm just like, it just didn't sit well with me. It kind of diminished the relationship for me, where
yeah.
I kind of wanted Albi to kind of leave him.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what? You are too. You should take the son and leave. Like, you
no,
know?
True. And then when he goes in to visit Laurent's mom, Simone, mm-hmm. I mean, he gets very obviously physical with her, and then Albin walks in on him on top of her.
Well, she gets physical with him. She's throwing herself at him. He could have said no. I get it.
I mean, we're not blaming her here.
she would be the Harvey Weinstein. She's the one crawling all over him.
Well, clearly, though, he kind of wanted it.
Yeah, fine. Now you're victim blaming here.
Victim blaming.
No, so the scene is that she is coming on to him. Why? She's so hot. Like, she's a hot older lady. She's so yes. hot. Yeah. Why is she coming on to this guy? I don't see the appeal.
Well, I mean, they fucked and had a child for a reason. So.
Well, I don't know what he looked like 20 years ago. But right now, his outfit was not doing it for me. His look. Just not feeling it.
You don't feel mustaches?
There's no way that she would have any moisture in her lady parts by seeing him.
Well, but still, like, so I see what you're saying. He was a little bit more physical in a negative way, but he also was more actively open to cheating on
yeah,
his partner.
I'll give you that. And this scene, like, Albin walks into, I also probably would have walked out and just, like, not come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Albin comes back.
If I was Albin, I could put aside, like, the request of the son wanting his mother there mm-hmm. and pretending to be the mom and pretending to be the sister. I could put that aside.
Yeah.
It's when she gets all over him and he doesn't turn her down that it's just like, oh, okay, well, you know what? I'm not. 20 years down the drain, goodbye.
Yeah.
You know?
That is grounds for it. So mm-hmm. I think my favorite character out of the whole movie and probably in the remake too would be Albin.
I like Albin.
I mean, he's just incapable of being anyone but himself.
Uh-huh.
He's true to who he is. He's just victimized by really treated unfairly by everyone around him. Nobody's considering him.
Time out. Not everyone around him. Specifically, only the main characters around
specifically
him.
Specifically, only his husband and his child.
Yes, his loved ones. Everyone in... that's why I like the scenes when he's, like, out in the town. Like, the shopping.
Everyone. Yeah.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I also kept thinking, it's just like, he's too fucking good for...
He is very too good for everyone.
Albert? Alberto.
Renato.
Why do I keep thinking Albert? I don't know where this is coming
from. You're thinking of the remake.
Oh, is that... Is he Albert?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Renato, thank you.
Yeah. And no, he definitely is not appreciated by them. But that's when it hurts more, too. I mean, mm-hmm. They really want him to deny his identity, and they want him to not be a part of it, even, because, like, who you are is just such a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, at the end of the day, so incredibly heartbreaking. So then what's also more important, like, what it is to be gay in identity and sociopolitical things, like, oh, we get it as gay men, we should help our heterosexual son out once, or should I completely deny this person's existence, almost?
Yeah, the denial is extra.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could see myself asking that. I'm surprised that they didn't think about, like, asking him to do drag. Just do better drag. You know, try to be RuPaul.
Well, this was the 70s in France, but...
What was the big drag queen? Divine.
She had just come out in America.
I don't know.
But drag queens have been around forever, essentially. At least in the 20th century. But, you know, that's the best part is that. So in the plot... Albin decides that, fuck this, I'm not going to pretend to be a man, I'm not going to go away, I'm going to dress in drag, and I'm going to be the mother.
Uh-huh.
And no one will ever know, because this is who I am. Part of my identity is that I am very effeminate.
And, so he, just raised, put on drag. And he also raised him.
Yes, raised mm-hmm. Laurent. And guess what? The parents love her. Well, more the husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wife was kind of more staunch than the remake.
She was a little bit taken aback at first, but then, yeah. Like, the whole family kind of starts coming around to this, because in this family, the conservative politicians,
yeah.
Right, they start seeing it just like, they don't care about necessarily the physical looks, they mm-hmm. care about what it looks like to the outside, which is a mother, a father, and a son. They're married. They have a giant crucifix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the things that they add to make it
all about the optics for the conservatives.
Yes.
And this is true in 2019.
But do you think that, like, also not really understanding, like, what a French conservative is makes it also, like, harder to possibly?
That's a good point. I think conservative values mm-hmm. is kind of the same all over the place, though, in terms of Well, you know, when you're a conservative, it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, you can be in, like, the Middle East, right? And if you're conservative, it doesn't necessarily mean, like, you're, you know, I believe conservatism tends to believe more in, like, smaller government throughout, and there's a more morality in the laws.
I see.
Influenced by whatever deity you're following,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't necessarily have to be God. It could be, if you're Muslim, it's based off of the Quran. Here in America, it's more, we lean more towards Christianity, towards our Christian God, Israel, you know, the Jewish, the Torah and stuff. So, yeah, like, you're right. I don't necessarily know what conservative in the 1970s in France was going to be, but the gist is still the same. There's a call to family values. There's probably a lot of anti-immigration, but that was still a thing back then.
Yeah.
That's just like, that's almost timeless.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I see. Okay. All right. I have a couple of things to say in terms of this film and when compared to its remake.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into its remake, which is The Birdcage, I just want to say that this film, when it came out, was a major success, not only in France, but here.
Not really.
Yeah. I think it played here for like over a year.
Oh.
And it was nominated in Oscars and stuff. It was nominated for Best Director, not even Best Picture.
Like, oh, really?
Not Best Picture, yeah, but Best Director. And
not like for a foreign film or just in general?
Just in, like, not for foreign film, but for all films.
Oh, okay.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I think, like, he was up against Michael Cimino for The Deer Hunter. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think it won the Best Foreign Language Film at the Golden Globes and stuff. So it was just a major, major hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting because, like, a gay French film being a major hit in America.
I know, it's like everything that, like, conservatives would hate, French and gay.
Yeah, but it was, I think it was kind of like a, kind of like a film that, like, oh, like, did you, like, a crazy film, like, did you know that this exists? And, like, and it's French, it's wild, it's crazy, you know? So, like, it was kind of like a secret fun film for
it's
people
so
to
interesting,
see.
Right? Because outside of the concept, there's nothing really wild or crazy about it. Like,
nope.
Like I had mentioned, it felt like a stage play in which this all takes place predominantly in one setting. The home. Which is why automatically my first instinct was just like, this must have been a stage win. Like, there's no way that this was.
Yeah.
Because I could already, just from watching stage plays and Broadway plays, I can already imagine how they, what's it called? It's just a bare bones set. Like, the crucifix, I guarantee you, does come out, like, the show, like you know, that there's probably, like, one big statue of David that they take out and they swap it out for the crucifix, for example, right? I could see all that happening on a set. This production feels small, right? Like, it doesn't feel grandiose.
Yeah.
It feels nothing like the 1990s.
That's true. They don't really use atmosphere of, like, their location mm-hmm. a lot. They just kind of stay within mm-hmm. their four walls. So, but very unlike the remake. So let's forward to 1996.
Is this pre or after Aladdin? It's after.
This is after Aladdin.
Yeah. This is 1986. Our second time talking about Robin Williams.
Yes, it is.
You grow Robin.
I think 96's Disney counterpart would be, I think that is when The Hunchback of Notre Dame came out.
Oh, another French influence.
Another French, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's 96. This is directed by Mike Nichols. If you don't know, Mike Nichols directed The Graduate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
He directed a lot of other films that are not coming to me right now. And he had a partnership in the early days with Elaine May. They were kind of like a comedy duo. Mm-hmm. And then Elaine May is the one who adapted the French film for this.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of Barry, they set it in Florida. They set it in Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
And everything else pretty much is the same.
There's a little more focus on the paparazzi trying to follow the...
Yes, because news has changed 18 years after
by
the film.
By the 90s, 96, 24-hour news cycle is upon us. We're well within the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
I don't think Fox News was born just yet.
True.
But I'm pretty... CNN was already around.
And politicals in America, too, but, like, I'm sure everywhere, but, like, you know, political things were also very much, like, tabloid things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't just liberty. Like, now, political things... This is a little bit before the Lewinsky scandal.
This is, like, a couple years right before...
Bill Clinton harassed and...
Uh-huh.
A poor intern.
She
we call it the Lewinsky skin.
Oh. Oh. Is that not what you said about Renato and this girl? It all comes full circle on the podcast here.
We're not touching that. You are so spiteful. I gave him a face when he said that about dear Monica. But anyway,
I like Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, she's great.
I don't want to get it twisted out there that I don't. I believe her.
Yeah, I of course I believe her too.
Obviously, we believe her. Yeah. We went through a whole impeachment here before.
Okay, so this stars Robin Williams as Armand. Armand Goldman. He's Jewish. And his lover Albert.
Oh, Albert is
played
by
the fantastic, wonderful, divine, unbelievable Nathan Lane. I love Nathan Lane. I actually, a bucket list of mine is to see Nathan Lane on the stage before I die.
Mm. Oh, you should. Are you going to go try to see that new play?
I got to see something. I'm like waiting for like him to be in this big revival of something. Like the one that I should have seen him in was in Angels in America, but I fucking missed it. It was just too expensive.
It was too expensive. And it's also like two nights.
Yeah. Yeah. They broke it up. It's an epic play. But worth it, a very important gay thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Anyway, I digress. Gene Hackman.
Gene. Oh, wait, hang on. Sorry. I'm taking the pause because I'm not real anymore.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Gene Hackman plays the father of Calista Flockhart, who is the love Calista interest, Flockhart. a young Calista Flockhart.
Who's 18 years old.
Yeah.
About to get married.
Mm-hmm. Diane Veist, who is his wife, who's a great actress, great character actress.
Yes. Oh, what is she most famous
for? I mean, she's kind of most famous for being moms in movies. She was also in Edward Scissorhands.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's in a lot of stuff, but she won the Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters, which she was great in, and she wasn't a mom in that. And to me, I'm like, that is the power of her acting abilities. And then she got fucking typecasted just because she has a really sweet voice.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
She was very mom.
Yeah. She was also in Bullets Over Broadway, and I think she won an Oscar for that, too. And she was great. She played, like, a really diva actress. Great. Both Woody Allen films, so people probably won't watch them, but she herself was good in them. So I guess you two pair performances. I think Diane Veist is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
And this time their houseboy
is played by Hank Azaria.
Yes.
Who's supposed to be Guatemalan.
We'll
talk about that for sure.
Yeah, we are gonna talk about that.
Because if I had to pick up out one flaw, it's right there.
What was his name again?
Agador.
Agador.
Agador, and then once the family's in town, Agador
Spartacus. Yeah. And then some guy plays Val, our mom's son.
Futterman is his last name. Dan Futterman, I think is his name.
Okay.
He's cute.
He's all right.
I thought he was cute.
He has the unfortunate bird-like job features. Of playing.
Oh.
he plays Val, so I just automatically hate him. But yeah, so The Birdcage. I grew up watching this film. This is not only a film that I could put on in the background and not pay attention to. This is a film that I put on and I sit down and I watch in its entirety.
Mm.
I really love this film. The fact that it is an American film, it speaks English, and like there's a lot of cultural references in here that I get. I'm an old soul and I really love films from like the 40s and on. So like a lot of Albert's references, I get. The first thing we hear Albert say is, Victoria Page will no longer dance. The Dance of the Red Shoes.
Is that Victor Victoria?
And she, no.
Oh, damn.
Actually, it's The Red Shoes, which is a British film from the 40s, but it's like the greatest ballet film of all time and inspired musicals in America in the 50s and all this stuff.
Okay.
It is one hell of a fucking reference, and that is the first thing she says. So I love Albert.
And then the next time we see her, though, was she dressed as Judy Garland? She was, right?
For Sarfina?
No. Like, so it's the next time we see her is when after Robin Williams and his son, like, talk about getting married, right? She comes in, and she's just like,
oh, yeah, white and wine. Yes,
and that was, that's
and that Judy is Garland. Her dressed as the Judy Garland bum character from A Couple of Swells in Easter Parade. That is right. Mm. I totally forgot. And I mean, it just drives me crazy. I'm just like, why can't you be my wife? Like, we would get along so well, you know, when the Schmecken beckons, like you and I. So anyway. I think that that's also why, like, in general, though, it's easier for me to resonate with this film just because of course, it's my language, but this is my cultural history. This is my background.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's also, like, it was, yeah, I love this film.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We should talk about why this film should have been remade. Because then I can.
Oh, right, we'll definitely, okay.
But Robin Williams is fantastic as Armand.
This is a good Robin Williams performance because we literally, the last major episode we did was about Aladdin, and we talked about Robin Williams' great performance as a genie.
Yeah.
Because his voice acting, he's so over the top. He is cartoonish almost.
Yes.
Here, he gives a very understated performance. However, it's such a good held back performance because so much of it relies mostly on the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where he kind of delivers. He's playing a character who is very out and proud. However, when it comes for his son, he's trying to like hold it back. So he's playing like kind of, you can see the tension inside, the internal struggle he has. And he plays it, I think he plays it so well.
I think he plays it so well. Because like the person who's really supposed to shine here is Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how famous Nathan Lane was, but it's like, I'm sure that it was like kind of jarring at first for people to see somebody like Robin Williams take a backseat and letting Nathan Lane kind of shine in terms of the performance or over the top performance, but it worked so well. It was, to me, it was almost like beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I think their relationship felt more loving. I think.
Even though you never see them kiss or hold hands.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't even think about that. No, you're right. They did not. However, the reason I would say it felt more loving and kind of more like a fleshed out relationship, though, was because they felt more like a real relationship after 20 years, where, not to say that they're sexless, mm-hmm. it's more to say that they are just so comfortable with each other. Yeah. They just bicker. You know what I mean? Like very Frank and Marie from Everybody Loves Raymond. That's what it felt like. Because that's what they were constantly bickering.
Thank you for making that reference for the heterosexual persuasion. Because I have no idea who they are.
No? You've never seen Everybody Loves Raymond? No, I haven't. Man, it's such a good sitcom.
Everything about it, I was like, I don't think I'm their audience. But I do watch The Golden Girls.
All right.
Okay, so anyway, I digress. yeah, it's weird because sometimes I'm like, I would have loved to have seen them kiss or embrace or anything. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, it is kind of like a long-term partnership at mm-hmm. that point. Again, though, in this film, I think that Albert is taken advantage of and denied a little too much. I mean, there's so many moments where Albert runs out crying. And if that was you, you would do it too.
But, and I think this is more so for Nathan Lane's performance, where this Albert, okay, so I could see the pain, the struggle of the original character, mm-hmm. right? Here, this felt more like Nathan Lane was just kind of a drama queen, a little bit.
Okay, but what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm a drama queen. I love like fucking being overreactive and storming out of rooms. Yes. Like, that's like my go-to move.
Is it because it's English that it's American? Like, is that why she translates more as a drama queen?
I think the reason she translates more as being like comical and like over the top and almost just fun. It's just because of Nathan Lane's performance, though.
Mm.
I don't know. The movie is kind of quick.
It's very quick. Sense?
Well, yeah. It's 2 hours. Actually, a half hour longer than the original.
Oh.
Yeah. But no. What I mean, quick is like it's like they're the style of comedy is just like joke upon. But they're just like fast talking. And as a result, like it's just like it feels more like an actual comedy.
Mm.
Where I think parts of the original one kind of not, it was a situational comedy, sure, but like it also felt kind of at times, you know, almost drama ish.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it was a healthy balance of the both.
Where this one feels more like it's like a comedy.
Yes, except for the parts where Val is speaking, then it was a horror film.
Oh my God. Well, okay, so let's get into this right now.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Let's take our beef. What's your beef with Val?
Laurent versus Val. It definitely is a French to English thing. And like I said before, earlier in the episode, is that in America, you know, men aren't as affectionate with each other and that compassionate. So they raised a heterosexual child. So he's more kind of, how do you say, he keeps his emotions inside. You know, he's a little more guarded.
Uh-huh.
And he's a sarcastic young kid, right? But he also seems a little privileged, highly privileged.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your parents are clearly rich.
Clearly rich. So, and just the way he talks to his father was like, oh, come on, dad, you got to do this for me.
But,
like, come on. And like, even the way he talks to like the guys who help him out, fairy dust the apartment, he's like, don't add, subtract. And he's just like talking to them like assholes.
But that's because like they're dumb.
I hate you.
Their decor ideas, I don't, one of them. Like, why would they bring up like a head of a moose?
That's brilliant.
No, it's not.
Heterosexual people love.
There's no moose in Florida. I mean,
everyone loves taxidermy.
You should have bought a turtle or something, like a giant turtle and stuff. That's makes more sense,
I suppose,
for the area.
You know, when Armand gives his first initial speech to his son, where he's like, you know,
I was double checking. Just
yeah, no, it's okay. Fine. You know, he's like, I'm a middle-aged fag, and that's what I am, and no fucking conservative guy is going to tell me anything. And then he, like, walks away. That is where the fucking movie should have ended.
It's fair.
Unfortunately, it didn't. And, like, I had all of this opportunity to just watch Val act like an asshole. Mm. And then it's like, you created this mess, and now you're unhappy with it? Like, what is Albert just supposed to stand back and, like, not have any emotions about the way you're fucking treating him?
I agree with you. I think Albert is definitely well within his right to have his emotions, right?
Yeah, he's well within his right. So don't call him a fucking drama queen.
No.
He's being denied his identity.
I'm talking about, like, literally, like, his screams and, like, his performances of just, like, storming out, you know.
I'm sorry, but I love melodrama. I love theater. I love people who just, like, it's life. Enhanced.
It's like, for example, when they're practicing the routine with like the guy who's chewing gum. For example, everything from Nathan Lane is like, oh,
yeah. That is fantastic.
Renato, do you see this?
What's your point, Armand, in this one?
Armand, damn it.
Side note, did you know that whole scene where he goes, you do an eclectic style of dance, you do fussy, 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 you do Twyla, 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 and Martha Graham, and Michael Kidd, Michael Kidd, and Madonna, all improvised.
Great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Fantastic.
It's so good.
It is so
good. That's one of the few physical performances we get from Robbie Williams in this movie, right?
Yes.
And it's so good.
It's fantastic.
And he plays it so well because you see he's so fucking frustrated
mm-hmm.
With both of them. And so he just snaps. And it's such a good...
It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great performance again from
Great Robbie performances Williams. All around. What do you think of the performance Hank Azaria delivers as Agador?
So let's talk about Agador.
Let's talk about Agador.
I had issues with Agador.
Tell me.
Being Hank Azaria is white.
Hank Azaria is not Guatemalan, let's just
He's
say
not
that.
Hang on, let's take this back. You could be white and Guatemalan. All right, you can.
Yeah, of course you
can. He could be the descendant of conquistadors, for all we know.
Okay, but I'm saying he's not Guatemalan.
He's not Latin, is the thing, right? Hank Azaria is, I don't know if he's Anglo-Saxon, but he's a white guy.
Yes.
He's playing up this hammy, like, Latin performance that's borderline offensive. Great performance. I'm not going to take that away. I'm just saying it's just like, it's fine. It could have been fine for the 90s. Right now, I'm just saying it's just like, ooh. And the other thing I take offense to it is I was offended that there was no actual representation of color.
Yeah, in the being that they're in the fucking...
And then when you watch the original one, and he's a black guy, I was just like, oh, they had the opportunity. They just didn't fucking do it. They changed it.
So the houseboy is a minority.
Uh-huh.
They turned him to a Spanish boy because it's Miami, uh-huh. right? So it's supposed to be more of like a Latino person.
And then they didn't even hire
a Latino person. So the thing about
like John Leguizamo would have been great.
John Leguizamo would have been great. Maybe he was too busy doing Tu Wong Fu. Or he didn't want to repeat that character.
Oh, true.
Maybe.
Yeah, he could have been typecast easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
But here's the thing. Hank Azaria is known for doing a lot of voices on The Simpsons. Uh-huh. And a lot of them are of other cultures. He does Apu.
Oh, he does Apu?
He does Apu. Oh. And he does other people.
Which itself has been under fire from...
Yes. Yeah. Now, that's the thing. The Simpsons should stop.
Oh.
That's a whole different conversation. Yeah. So, and I think Simpsons should stop being a show. It was a perfect show back in the day. I have no problems with The Simpsons. I just think that it's been on for too long. And now it's finding that it's not aging well with our culture.
You're not going to get a complaint from me on that.
I just wanted to clarify what I meant by The Simpsons should stop. So anyway.
They should stop being racist all the time.
So Hank Azaria, after that, got typecasted as minorities. And that's just what Hollywood does, unfortunately. And Hank Azaria himself has been like, that ended up being my Hollywood career, and it kind of sucks.
Mm.
It's unfortunate because I look at Agador with a lot of love as just like a really lovingly portrayed, you know, gay man who uh-huh. liked to listen to Gloria and dance while he was mopping. And his accent doesn't necessarily bother me when I watch it. Yeah, he does a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I do recognize the problem. I recognize that he is unfortunately also giving us a loving portrayal, but it also can be borderline offensive. Like, if somebody were to get offended by it, I can't complain about that.
Absolutely not.
No. Yeah. So it's like, I'm a little torn about it.
Or
because...
like the peasant soup.
Oh.
Like, the joke that Robbie Williams' character had to give, oh, like, it's just like, oh, you know, the hen is just important for Guatemalans. Like, they say someone's worth their weight in the hen. And then he comes back and like, it's a peasant soup. It's like, oh, maybe it's all we eat out there in Guatemala. And like, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't know. Like, what do these white writers think, like, they do with fucking South America?
Yeah, yeah. But that was also a good nod to, like, the arrogance that people have about other cultures.
For sure.
They gotta deliver on that. So it's tough. I don't know. I love that scene where he's listening to Gloria Estefan. And,
yeah.
It's a great scene.
Great performance from Hank Azaria. Also, wasn't aware of what a body he had.
Yeah.
When I think of Hank Azaria, I think of Phoebe's boyfriend from Friends.
That's right. Yeah. Aww.
The one that got away.
Minx.
Yes, thank you. Good for you, Nicole.
I wish I was this helpful on Friends Trivia Night. But, okay, so overall, what did you think about The Birdcage?
The Birdcage, when I watched it in, like, I must have been maybe a sophomore, freshman in high school, right? And I caught, like, only the second half of it. Funny. Didn't recognize the importance of it until rewatching it, specifically in the sociopolitical message it had, right?
Yeah.
Where you have like this conservative conservative senator, congressman, I forgot. Senator,
congressman.
Congressman?
Oh, no, Senator Jackson. Senator. Yeah, Senator Jackson, yeah.
You know, his starting the Coalition for Morality, or I think it was a caucus, they were trying to start, and like his partner, you know, died having sex with an underage black prostitute.
Yeah.
Right? Scandalous. Similar way to like the conservative partner died in the original.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only difference here is just like here in America, the joke is more so on the fact that black.
Yeah.
Because as we know, it's just like Republicans are notoriously racist. Now, all of them, but your platform.
The stereotype.
Yeah. Your platform is definitely racist.
Yeah.
And the fact that like he would be sleeping with an underage. The underage thing doesn't just shock him as Gene Hackman as much as the black prostitute.
Yeah.
Those are the more offensive things in his book. I love that aspect. I also love Gene Hackman's performance mm-hmm. of kind of playing this like kind of guy who could not turn off the fact that he was a senator. When he's talking with them, it's like he's giving a political speech.
Yeah.
You know, the Purple Mountain Majesties and the grains of sand of America. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But
I love the way he acts to Albert when in drag.
Yes. Oh, I love that too. Like yeah. the he's just like, what a fine American woman.
Yeah. And like who they are both as people, they get along splendidly.
And then the anger he starts feeling towards Albert when he thinks that Armand is European and that this poor young American girl got swept up in his life now and like she must be miserable. He's so angry with Armand because he thinks he's Euro trash and and like this poor American girl is like now stuck with him and like his wife is visibly angry.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. he's taking such an interest in her.
Such a
just great chemistry all around for the whole cast.
I love that they randomly cut to a scene where Robin Williams is Armand is playing I Could Have Danced All Night on the piano and all of them are singing along and dancing.
And then Hank Azaria comes in and finishes it.
Yeah. That to me is one of my favorite scenes. It kind of comes out of nowhere because the tension was so awkward and then all of a sudden they're singing. But I also kind of love that because at the end of the day, like music and especially if you're open to it, theater can bring people together. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like, why can't that be us? Yeah. Why can't we be around a piano singing old show tunes?
Ugh, the goals, right?
Goals indeed.
What other things we're trying to think of? The mother played by Barinski, is that her last name? Christine Barinski?
Oh, Christine Baranski.
Baranski. Yeah.
Fantastic actress. Love her.
You know, fine performance. It wasn't like a standout performance.
Yeah.
But she's good in like anything she does, even for...
Yeah, they weren't like more actively trying to hit on each other as much as like the sexual tension was developing.
Not only the sexual tension, I think what makes that scene funnier is that Nathan Lane's character walks in on them not like trying to seduce each other, they're singing.
Yeah.
And that's what he finds the most appalling thing ever. Yeah. It's just like, this is what you guys are doing. Like this is our thing and you ruined it.
Yeah.
Which I find that it's funnier, but true. It's also at the same time almost sweeter. It's not as creepy, I think when it's kind of sexual in the original one, it was kind of like, ugh. And here it was more like this is almost like sweet
this
that
is
he's
like,
so offended that they're singing and dancing together.
I agree. Although like, what a shitty thing to do to just leave Albert in the waiting room for like an hour while you're just like in there like going down memory lane.
Oh, he's trying to convince her to like play the mom. I get it.
It got a little out of control, but whatever. Well, I mean,
yeah,
poor Albert.
The song
and
dance.
And then right after that, there's that scene where Albert runs away because of course.
And he can't drive stick.
And he can't drive. So he's just sitting there and then they have that moment on the bench and he's like, you're such a pain in the ass and all this stuff. It's like, fuck you. Do you not realize what you've been doing to him?
However, that was also a very poignant moment because that's when they weren't husbands. They don't get married, right? Because
no, yeah, but they came to this understanding. But then a couple of scenes later, Albert dresses as a man. He's trying his best and he's just sitting there in front of the both of them who are just staring at him. And he's like, I'm trying everything I can to please you guys.
Yeah, that was,
enough.
That was a very heartbreaking scene for sure.
And then for the seventh time, Albert storms out. It's just so wonderful.
And then we go his drag performance.
Yeah.
Great. I love it.
Do you think that it was a good idea for them to remake La Caja Falls for an American audience?
Yes. I actually, while I was rewatching the Birdcage, I was actually thinking this movie probably cannot work now, though, in 2019.
Maybe not. And yeah.
So why do you think it can't?
Because we're so politically correct now.
No, that's not
because.
Why I would say.
Because also, I don't think that we've made such strides in terms of equality. We still need more.
Okay.
But at this time, I don't think that a person has to pretend and hide in the shadow anymore. All right. Maybe they won't get along, but I don't think a child would ask their parent to like pretend to be straight in this day and age.
Okay. So I actually think now in Trump's America, I know, and I actually think this movie, a remake, would make sense. However, where the remake wouldn't be the same anymore is probably in the ending. All right, because in both of them, the families help the conservative men escape without, you know, falling to the prey of the what's it called, of the media.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen nowadays, because I know if I had to change of who, if I had to do this for my son so he can get married, but I find out it's a Trump supporter, like he's a Trump backing senator, do you think I want to like go out of my way to protect his image from leaving the gay nightclub? I'd be calling the fucking national fire myself. Taking pictures. So I'm freely admitting right now that I fall into, yes, I am part of that reason that we are so divisive. Just only because, though, the other side, I feel, have taken so much away from us as little by little.
Yeah.
That it's just like, how can I not feel this way?
And it's only in the Trump era where a person wants to hold a straight pride.
Yes. Yeah. And it all comes back to the straight pride. I'm so glad we're actually doing this movie, though, now.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about it.
The political...
Excuse me. Gross.
Fuck you. The political side of it is very important. I was thinking about it. I'm like, maybe if this gets remade, it could have lesbians or something.
That'd be cool. I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't be quite the same, but imagine them dressing like the woman dressing up as a man.
Uh-huh.
And like the woman loving this man.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I don't know. We won't get too much into that. But I think that it's interesting because I started off saying how heartbreaking the request is. And now you agree that you would do it for your son, and I get it. And like agreeing with why Armand and Renato did it, but in Trump's America, you wouldn't.
No.
So in that case, atmosphere.
I wouldn't. Not that I would do it. I would do it for my son, even if like the other family was conservative or whatever. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna like. I wouldn't sit there at dinner and pretend like I'm a conservative too. I'm liberal, and that is it. I'm not. But protecting my son necessarily from the rejection. Here's the thing, right? I understand as a gay person what it's like to be rejected from society. Not like totally, completely, right? Because I have friends who are straight. Lucky me. But I still understand that kind of, that feeling of rejection. I would not want my son to feel that way because I am gay. If he's straight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand that having to protect him. However, what I'm saying is, like, if he was a senator or a congressman who's very pro-Trump, very anti-gay, then that's where I'm going to be like, oh, I'll help you out. But then the first chance I get, I'm going to probably backstab and like out him to the fucking National Enquirer. No, National Enquirer is Republican. So the Huffington Post.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, this film came out, the remake came out in Clinton's America. And obviously times have changed.
Clinton America, specifically when the Republicans had both houses.
Yes, so, and before the Lewinsky scandal and everything. So,
but this is already when America is starting to change. Like, this is like we're entering the time where like America will, in the next 10 years, become hyper polarized.
Oh, of course.
I think this movie would be great to be remade in 2019. I just think the ending would have to be different.
I would like to see
so
that.
Polarized. There's no way that you could like sell me a very happy ending of everyone working together to protect the image of the conservative senator.
True. This is very true. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that I really loved that this was remade just because I think it's really important for something like this to be adapted into a person's main language for them to really comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
For them to really, you know, I've seen this film with a lot of straight people and everyone really responds well to this film. It's funny. It's great. And at the end of the day, like, it's really unfortunate. There's a lot of sad things that happen in it in terms of the gay people getting the shit end of the stick. But everyone ends up, it's a happy ending.
Yeah.
And there ends up being some sort of acceptance at the end, even though the senator just kind of walks away from it.
Well, Well, but, no. Actually, so that's a good point on the acceptance, right? Because the two kids get married at the end. We see the wedding.
Yeah.
But immediately when the parents find out that he, you know, that...
They just wanted to leave, couple, but then they found out they were trapped.
Because they're trapped.
And then they put their brains together. But within that finding out they were trapped, they bonded. And then they ended up on good terms.
Right.
Right?
So, which is where I don't think the remake remake nowadays would just not work out.
Well, in terms of a non-existent remake,
because you just rejected me, and I'm just like, well, fuck you now. Now I'm gonna do everything I can to fuck you to make sure you lose.
Yes, but in this, I think that even though like there's a lot of bad things, and Raoul really pisses me off, the representation of these people, and like as a couple who've been together forever, and they're just like. They have basic needs and their wants, and they don't want to be denied of their identity. And they'll do anything to please their child. They're great parents at the end of the day. You know, like, that's really important. So I was glad that at least was translated into an American picture and in the English language for people to see. And I'm glad it was such a hit. And I love this film. My mother loves this film. This is one of my mother's favorite films. That's why I've seen it so many times. And I just think that this is probably in my top 10 favorite LGBT movies.
I agree with you there for sure.
And I'm so sorry you had to deal with this, Albert. I'm so sorry you had to deal with all of this, Albert.
I see your point about what it is to like to be a dad and wanting to like do like everything you can to make your son happy. When I first saw, I only saw the remake with Robin Williams, and I remember not liking the son at all for making that request. And even the way he treated
Nathan Lane
too. I was kind of I kind of like turned me off a little bit. But then rewatching it a couple of times, I begin to see, because you know, you put it in the context where it's like the era, the time, the thought process, you know, him being young too, because they got married young. They were 18, 20. That, so there's like still like young kids just trying to kind of figure this all out. But it did make the moment so much sweeter at the end when his real mother comes in and everybody's like, what's going on? Who's the mother here?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then he steps towards Nathan Lane. And he says, this is my mother.
Yeah. It's a
just said that this is the person that raised me.
Poignant moment.
You know? So yeah. I thought that was really, it just made it so more heartfelt to get to that point.
I hope Val stopped being a piece of shit.
He did. You could tell.
Eddie told us that moment of redemption for this is my
Val
mother.
Gets redemption, which I think was a nice
A
redemption.
Little too late for me.
Well, of course, it's the literal end of the movie. That's what happens in movies.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah. Should we do a quick lightning round?
Let's do a quick lightning round.
Pew, lightning round.
Okay, so Renato or Armand?
Okay. Actor. Renato is the French.
Ugo Tognazzi or Robin Armand. Williams?
I'm going to go with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And Robin Williams didn't hit his spouse.
He just did a great, like, and I felt like he was very much himself because he's like, I don't need to change as portraying a gay man. I'm just going to be me. Just be me, like, really more subdued. And that was a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ugo did really well, but I think at the end of the day, Robin did fantastic.
Robin Williams did, yes, I agree.
And the things we discussed about Renato are just unforgivable.
Mm hmm. For sure.
Laurent or Val? You really thinking
Lane.
About this? No.
Oh.
The sons.
Oh,
Laurent
the sons.
Or Val?
You tricked me.
We're going to leave him for last.
Okay, I'm going to go with Val.
Fuck you.
I like Val.
You like Val?
I like Val.
I'm going with Laurent. At least he was pretty and not bird-like.
I thought Val was handsome. Except for, you know, he had bird-like features, but you could still be handsome and have bird-like features.
This is very true.
You don't have to be,
you could be handsome, but if you're a shitty person, then that doesn't mean anything.
He played a shitty character. I still don't think he played a shitty character.
It's like, who raised you, you son of a bitch?
He was, I totally understand, trying to...
You can understand it. It still is fucked up. And look at what you did to poor Albert.
I'm just saying that I can still empathize. But at the end of the day, he still loved them both. And that's why he complained.
Yeah, he a little too late, like I said, for me. But yes, he does redeem himself. Whatever. I picked Laurent. Okay, so...
He learned a lesson.
Jacob or Agador Spartacus?
Oh, I'm going to probably go with Jacob.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean...
Agador Spartacus,
I like
great
them
performance.
Both.
I think only because...
Jacob is very, that's who he is, whereas Agador was a put-on performance of somebody that he was in, not Guatemalan.
And also at the same time, though, like, the exploration of, like, kind of also the identity politics behind being a black man in France working for two white people.
Okay.
I think that exploration kind of makes that character just feel a little more lived in, almost.
Do we want to do everyone, or should we just go to the Alberts?
No. I mean, you could, the family.
Yeah, the conservative family in the Birdcage, or the conservative family in La Cage aux Folles.
I want to go with the Birdcage conservative family. They were funnier.
Yes.
The other ones, they were kind of like very
drier.
Drier, almost irredeemable.
Yeah, yeah.
Where as opposed to this one, they were kind of, they were funny. They were parodies of what conservatism was like in the 90s.
True. Yeah, and we're more familiar with American politics, so we can laugh more at that.
For sure.
And last but never least, Albin or Albert?
I want to go with Albert.
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 I mean, Albin was fantastic. You know, Michel Soreau, he won a César Award, which is like the Oscar equivalent in France.
Thank you for clarifying that. Because
I mean, he did a great performance, but there's just, I mean, Nathan Lane is one of the greatest fucking actors of our time. I think he can do anything. You know, I think he can be gay, he could be straight, he could be funny, he could be sad.
Wait, when
you
was know, Nathan Lane straight in a character?
On you. What?
When was Nathan Lane a straight character?
You ever see The Producers?
You playing a straight?
Yes.
Oh.
He could play straight.
I mean, Timon and Pumbaa, they weren't straight, they were a gay couple.
They were an interspecies couple.
They were breaking all sorts of barriers. I hope. That Timon and Pumbaa are like out and proud in the new
one. And the new one, that would be sweet. They should hold hands more. Or pause or whatever.
Pumbaa has hooves. He can't.
Hooves, there we go.
He's on all fours. Timon. I hope Timon is just riding him dirtily. Wait, who did he play though? Was he Timon or Pumbaa? He was Timon.
He was Timon.
Timon, okay, the meerkat.
Yeah. He's just a fantastic actor. He, you know, like hit with his references and his repertoire. And just his overall rapport with anyone, you know, when he goes into the bakery. Everyone loves him. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to not like about Albert. And he fucking was victimized this whole film. Mm-hmm. You poor, delicate, beautiful person who ended up saving the day. Because they didn't like Val. They didn't like Roman. They loved Albert.
Interesting. Why don't you think they like... You don't think the family liked Val?
No. Because they were also, like, too busy putting on airs. They were too in their head. And they were, like, acting a fool. And they're like, what the hell is going on here? And they were ready to walk out and be like, something's off. Until Albert walked in.
That's actually a really good fucking point that I didn't realize. I think you're absolutely right about that.
The only person who was being like, themselves, they responded to. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. It's true.
It is true. All right.
You got me there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, have you guys seen The Birdcage?
Or
La Cage aux Folles? You should fucking see it. It's
right now
phenomenal.
Streaming on...
Netflix.
And Amazon Prime. So you if you have either of those two accounts, you can see it.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's not on... Right now, currently, it's on Hulu, not Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
And Amazon Prime.
In honor of Pride, you should watch The Birdcage if you haven't seen it. Or just in general. You don't even need to watch it for Pride. You just should watch it. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So you can tell us your thoughts if you watch it and if you like the film. And if you hate Val, tell us about it on facebook.com/remakesreboots and revivals. Or you can email us at remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. Or you can Instagram us. Where, Rolando?
It's remakesrebootsrevivals.
Yeah. And so please reach out.
Yeah, we, you know, hit us up, leave comments, and you never
give
know.
Us a rating also.
Yeah, give us a rating. But you never know. We'll possibly read it on air.
True. And that always helps us out. So just be kind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
That's it.
All right. Well,
let's continue this Pride Month.
Yes.
World
Pride, guys. This is a fucking, like, big time for us. This is the anniversary of Stonewall. Mm-hmm. Judy Garland's death is big. Liza should be grand marshaling that fucking parade.
Can she stand?
She could sit. She could be like Santa in Thanksgiving, just sitting there on her throne waving.
Who is the grand marshal?
I don't know. It should be Liza, though. I'll settle for Lorna, her other daughter. Yeah.
Okay. All references, I don't know.
Yeah, see, Albert would get it. Albert would be like, yes, thank you. See, Albert. All right, guys, until next time, stay unoriginal.